This is 89.9 WWNN. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. We have lots of energetic dance today, whether you're in the mood for conversation with an acclaimed dancer, an evening celebrating the life of an iconic jazz pianist interpreted through the rhythms of tap, or a spiritually uplifting evening of dance with African and Afro-Cuban rhythms. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 23rd annual Gambit Big Easy Foundation tribute to the classical arts, celebrating dance, classical music, and opera, gets underway on Friday. Award-winning modern dancer, choreographer, director, and educator Lula Elzey is this year's recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award. The honor comes on the heels of her company, the Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater's 25th anniversary celebration. We talked with Lula on the eve of that milestone as she took us back in time to an impromptu conversation that led to her company's humble beginning.
Well, believe it or not, I happened to be walking down the school with Victor Goines, and we had a conversation about doing something new for Christmas time. And he says, "Hey, Lula, Ellington has an arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite. We should do that." And believe it or not, that's how the company started. Just by a conversation of trying to do something new for the holiday season.
And dancing itself, when were you first attracted to the art?
I was at Booker T. Washington School. New Orleans Center of Creative Arts were having auditions. They were just starting the school, I think it was the second year, and they were advertising with all of the English teachers. And I had an English teacher by the name of Miss Krappel, who says, "Lula, you need to do something different. Here, all girls like to dance, go and audition for this school." And that's how it started.
And this was back in high school?
Yes, this was high school, 12th grade.
What was it about dance that kept your attention?
Oh, well, when I went to the audition, the teacher asked, "How long have you been dancing?" And I said, "Well, I've never danced." She said, "How did you come up with this choreography?" I said, "Well, I looked at some books, because I was always in the library, and I made all the pictures come to life." And so she said, "Oh my God, you have all this natural talent. You should do this." And I was like, "Really?" I said, "No, I'm going to college. I'm majoring in history and minoring in psychology." She said, "But you're a really good dancer." And so I said, "Okay, well, I can give this a try."
And the career took you on a tour?
It took me from there to, well, first of all, I was trying to find out where to go and learn, you know, and get more classes. And someone told me about St. Mark's Community Center, and they were doing African dance. So I did that for a while. Then I started meeting people who were taking other dance classes. We would meet at Kingsley House in a little room, and everybody would teach each other all the things they were learning. And so after that, I kept dancing, joined the Contemporary Arts Center in New Orleans. Then after that, I went off to the Alvin Ailey American Dance Center in New York. I did two of their scholarship programs. And from there, I went back to New York and did the Nat Horn Musical Theater Project and Jacob's Pillow from there. So it just kept going.
Tell us more about Nat Horn and how he influenced your career.
Well, Nat was teaching at the Alvin Ailey American Dance Center, and he was the jazz teacher. And he loved music, and he loved dancers just really dancing to the music. And so one day he asked where I was from, and I said, "New Orleans." And he said, "Come up here and dance with me." So I did, and from that point on, once he started his school, he invited me there for those classes. And then from there, we stayed together, and I became his assistant, going to Germany to help him with musicals. And from there, we remained friends and still are. And Nat just retired at the age of 84.
Oh, that's precious.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of in your career to date?
I am proud of getting dancers here in the city to stay with me for all of this time. And then the body of work. We could not believe we had done so much over the years.
Now, are you still dancing today?
Yes, I am. I will be dancing until one of my friends say, "Oh, no, Miss Lula, you have to get off the stage now."
What does the future hold for you and the Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater?
Well, as a friend would say to me that our company should now be called a sunset company, which means that we have the opportunity that when we want to do a special show, it will go under the title of the Lou Lells in New Orleans Dance Theater, and that I'm free to call all of the dancers back to do that. And so I thought that was a great idea. So it's not really closure. You know, so we will continue. So you will hear the name pop up every now and then. And then that's great because no one has to ask if I retire or not. Retiring is never a thing for dancers. So we go on. If you're not dancing, you're choreographing or you're helping the next generation.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And here's to many more years of dance.
Oh, yes. On with the dance.
The 23rd Annual Tribute to the Classical Arts Awards Luncheon gets underway on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Hotel Monteleone in the French Quarter. More info is online at bestofneworleans.com/FEDE. The life of the self-proclaimed inventor of jazz, New Orleans musician Jellyroe Morton, comes to the stage as the Broadway musical Jelly's Last Jam makes its regional premiere at Le Petit Theater. Emmy Award winner and Tony-nominated actor, choreographer, and master tap dancer Ted Lewis Levy, part of the original Broadway production, is making his Le Petit debut in the title role. Ted is here with director Jackie Alexander. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts, Ted, as you open in Jelly's hometown, the birthplace of jazz?
As a tap dancer, first of all, the rhythms that have emerged from jazz and our understanding of jazz is exciting. Helping people understand the value of a musician of that caliber is amazing.
Jackie, tell us about this iconic figure, Jellyroe Morton. Who was he?
Jellyroe is a New Orleans son, one of the greatest jazz musicians and one of the most underappreciated jazz musicians. You know, if you look around New Orleans, I don't think there's one statue of Jellyroe Morton. And this story kind of examines how that happened. And it was kind of birthed from his own rejection of the culture that defined his music. And while the story really is about jazz, it's also a uniquely New Orleans story that an audience here is going to get on a level that Broadway audiences didn't get, and that's what's exciting about it, and that's what is so great that La Petite chose this to celebrate their 100th anniversary, because it is a uniquely New Orleans story. It really examines and pays homage to one of New Orleans' greatest sons.
Now, he was born Ferdinand Joseph Lamothe in Hobart, Maryland. How did he get the name Jellyroe, and what made him a controversial figure?
There's a little debate on where that nickname came from. Some people said it was a sexual connotation. Some people say he stole the name from a traveling musician from Florida, and it really wasn't his name. The name Morton is actually his stepfather's name. And the controversy around him, at least the way it's presented in this play, is Jellyroe was a Creole, and the rejection of darker population of African Americans in New Orleans. And the irony is that population is what defined his music. The beats, the rhythms that he heard in Congo Square. And there's a great scene in the play where Jellyroe is introduced to the sounds of New Orleans, the sounds of the streets, the gumbo lady, the beignet man. And if you're from New Orleans, you know those sounds. People walking down the street selling, the way they talk, the way they move, the way they beat, the way they tap. And that helped define what he later claimed to create, which is jazz, taking all these sounds and creating a new music. So the controversy is that he birthed jazz from a culture that he later rejected, and how that affected him, how it really ruined his life in many ways. He faced rejection from his family. It's a very deep play. It's not your normal musical.
So Ted, take us on this journey. What will we experience?
Well, you'll see Jelly hang out with his best friend, Jack the Bear. He will find love. He will find friendship. He will find a newness of the world. He will find that the concept of jazz is not a monolithic thing. It is absolutely multi-layered. It is not just a New Orleans thing. New Orleans has its play in it, but like the American tapestry, it is layered. And once he gets to New York, he will find himself coming from Congo Square, or shall I say the Creole Way, on through to Chicago and through to New York, where he finds that he has to come back to himself eventually.
Meaning?
Meaning the rhythms of who he truly is, the meaning of love, the meaning of self-acceptance. One of the things that I understand from this play is that we want to accept a truism that we are pure in some respect. I think the only pure thing that we can find is the honesty and the truth that comes from within us, which is what Jelly ultimately finds. To be an American mutt is what we all are as Americans. And he has to accept that Creole is a blend of things, not something that is true to everything. And those rhythms is what guide him through the show.
And the rhythms came from many influences.
Absolutely.
Can you give us an example?
Yes, I can. Buddy Bolden was one of his greatest influences. But we're here in New Orleans, and I'd like to have a little fun. One of New Orleans' favorite sons is also Louis Armstrong. And I want to do a nice little tribute to Jackie and the La Petite for inviting us all here to do Jelly Roll Morton. Just a little rhythm and a little song for New Orleans. Tap dance. If I were to say how wonderful it was to do this, I would say it in these words. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wow. Jelly Roll was not a tap dancer.
No, he wasn't.
So how is tap being incorporated into the show?
We intentionally use tap dancing as a way to expose the rhythmic component, the musical component, and the emotional component to the journey of Jelly Roll Morton.
Would Jelly Roll Morton be proud of this celebration of his life?
I think he would be proud of the fact that this show is both human, cultural, intellectual, and musical. I think he would be proud that it affects the layers of his life.
There are creative licenses taken with the play, so I'm not sure how he would appreciate that. The funny thing is, at the end of the play, there's a moment where he recognizes there's a song called We Are the Rhythms That Color Your Song. That realization, you know, if Jelly Roll truly had that realization at the end of his life and had accepted all this, you know, what defined him, who he was, then yes, I think he would enjoy watching this journey and sharing with people how he came to this place. But it's a really difficult question because it's so long ago, and again, there are a lot of creative licenses taken with the show. I don't know how he would react to some of them.
Award-winning Broadway actor and choreographer Ted Louis Levy and director Jackie Alexander. Thanks.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you very, very much.
The Broadway musical Jelly's Last Jam makes its regional premiere at Le Petit Theater, 616 St. Peter Street, opening Friday, with performances running through February 12th. More info is online at lepetittheater.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Ballet Association and the Noka Institute co-present internationally acclaimed dancer and choreographer Ronald K. Brown and his New York-based modern dance company, Evidence. The company, known for blending African and Afro-Cuban dance rhythms, includes two dancers with Louisiana roots. Ronald K. Brown is here. Welcome back to the city.
Thank you.
What is it that draws you to New Orleans?
Oh, my goodness. Born in Brooklyn, New York, family from Rayford, North Carolina, on the father's side. My great-grandfather's from Liberia, yeah? And so I always love places that have a rich history and a vibrancy. And New Orleans has that. You walk around and you feel substance in the air.
You are an artist in residence here.
Yes, Chevron Master Artist. Came here and taught last year for the summer. And now I'm here with my company and some community folks having a wonderful time.
Now, you are known for telling stories through earthy dances. Tell me, what are you exploring in this program?
We're doing two pieces. The first piece on the program is called Four Corners. I made it in collaboration with this incredible poet, Carl Hancock Rux, who I met when I was in my brain headed to be a journalist. So we were, for the summer, we're both 16 years old. Working at Columbia University on this Uptown magazine. But years later, we kind of reconnected, and he said, Ron, I've worked with all of your dance friends, but we've never created something together. I said, oh, I'm going to do a new piece for the Ailey Company. He said, so let's do something. He had this piece called Lamentations. I said, oh, Martha Graham has a piece called Lamentations. We can't do that. We can't do that. But let me look in the lyrics. It talks about the four corners of the earth. Angels are stationed, and they will not rest until there's peace. I said, okay, that's it. So I created this piece of Four Corners, telling the story of how we won't settle down until everything is okay. And then the other piece is On Earth Together, music by Stevie Wonder. A presenter in L.A. reached out to my agent and me some years ago and said, Stevie Wonder attended a concert and was wondering, wouldn't it be incredible if someone did a piece to my music. It was probably the Ailey Company, because they have used some of his music. And he writes so much about love and being a compassionate citizen in the world. I said, okay, I think I have it figured out. And then I developed this piece, On Earth Together. 9 songs by Stevie Wonder. And I love, because I started dancing kind of late, I love teaching. And I teach for universities and people who want to dance. But I love teaching folks who just want to move and be in a room where people are all ages. And I was teaching in Philadelphia, maybe 50 people. And there is the age range was 6 to 79. And I was like, oh, man, this is incredible. I said, oh, wouldn't it be incredible if On Earth Together, the name of the Stevie Wonder piece, if when people saw it, they saw a reflection of us, the world, all ages, all complexions. And so the company had a 2-week season in Brooklyn. They said, oh, I'll audition, I'll add 10 people. There's 8 dancers in evidence, I'll add 10 people. Auditioned 60 people, ended up picking 30 people. I was like, yeah. With people from Japan, from Sweden, it was amazing. We've done it in Pittsburgh, in Notre Dame, Indiana, Williamstown, Massachusetts. When we were coming down here, we thought, oh, I knew it would be amazing to have folks on the stage that reflected the community here.
Community is very important to you, and this grand finale involves a large selection of local dancers.
Yes. So we came down, my associate artistic director and I, and we auditioned folks. First, the elders that work with NOBA, and then we had an audition for students from NOCA and other younger students.
So this is a multi-generational cast from our local area.
Yes. One person might be, I don't know, 12. And the oldest person is, you know, you have to respect folks. So, you know, 70 in that area.
Yeah. Now, there are 2 dancers in your company that have Louisiana roots.
Mm-hmm. So Clarice Young is from New Roads. And I met her at the American Dance Festival in Durham, North Carolina, years ago. And she apprenticed for 4 years. And then has been in the company for 10 and is our rehearsal director. Gorgeous, gorgeous woman. And then Courtney Ross, who's from New Orleans, who I met at the Alvin Ailey American Dance Center. did a workshop with her. Oh, she's gorgeous. And then she was in Ailey too. She auditioned for Ailey, but she let me know that I want to dance with Evidence. I said, oh, you know, just, you know, make your decisions. And then she apprenticed with us for maybe a year. And when it came down to teach last summer, her mom appeared backstage. And she said, and this was when Courtney was still apprenticing. And the mom said, I think my baby's going to dance with you. Right. And then she told me a story. And Courtney was a little upset that she spilled the beans. I guess the company was down here when I think Courtney was in the eighth grade. And she said, oh, mommy, I could dance in that company. And so when I hired her, she said, I'm so sorry my mother told you that story. I wanted to tell you that story. So I'm excited to have those two hometown women on the program here.
And as a storyteller, what is the story you hope folks will remember from this dance experience?
There's a woman, a journalist who called me. She said, you know, I'm atheist. And I know you talk a lot about God in your work, but when I leave the theater, I feel so good. I feel so much love. Is that okay? I said, yeah, no, that's actually perfect. For me, God and love are the same. I'm not saying that you need to believe in God, but if you leave the theater lifted up, having some sense of determination and that love is central, then I've done my work.
Dancer, choreographer, and artistic director of Evidence, Ronald K. Brown. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
The New Orleans Ballet Association and the NOCA Institute present Ronald K. Brown's Evidence for three performances at NOCA's Lupin Hall, 2800 Charter Street, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and a Sunday matinee at 2. More info at nobadance.com. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. You say your style of life's a drag, that you must go other places. But just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by a smile. Don't you worry about a thing. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.